everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on four-eyed fantasies when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values. These two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto, and these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. This income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires that we sign contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government in violation of Exodus chapter 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed, and then we're taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it just what it is, covetousness, in violation of Exodus 20, verses 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that better way, and that's why I contend that we ought to learn how to practice a better way of life than income tax and Social Security. And if you'd like more information about tax and status, just call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about fluoride fantasy here this week, and fluoride is a very toxic chemical. So toxic, in fact, that it's more poison, or as poison as, lead. And arsenic. It's in our food and it's in our water, and it's in our food and water in prodigious amounts. We took a look at the toothpaste and the industry that promotes toothpaste and came to a conclusion, at least I did, that the people that are making toothpaste aren't in the business of selling toothpaste. They're in the business of delivering fluoride to you, and they needed a vehicle. They needed a cigarette to put the nicotine into, and they needed the toothpaste to put the fluoride into to get that into your children. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. And it isn't dental caries. It doesn't have anything to do with your teeth. In fact, it causes brittle teeth and blotched or mottled teeth, and it doesn't prevent tooth decay any more than it prevents baldness. Fluoride to prevent baldness would be ludicrous, and fluoride to prevent tooth decay is just as ludicrous. We believed it because that's what we've been told, and our government told us that. And we found out that the government told us that because they needed to have a place to get rid of it to prevent lawsuits in 1945. The big industries that produce it, phosphates, fertilizer, aluminum, steel, they've got to have a place to put it because it costs $1.40 a gallon to dispose of it. And it makes all the sense in the world to save that $1.40 a gallon and charge the water district of your city 40 cents a gallon to put it in your water. It disposes of the product. It disposes of this health hazard. And it puts it into your water supply, and it accomplishes another more surreptitious objective, and that is to drug you. Not that you really needed any more drugs, because if you're an average American, 82% of us are on some kind of a prescription drug coming out of the chute, and then if we're 65 or older, we're on average taking six prescription drugs, and in addition to that, we're being medicated in our public water supplies. Well, at least 62% of us are, and the goal is to raise that to 75%. Why in hell would we want to go up from 62 to 75% by putting fluoride into the water supply when we already know that the only purpose for putting it in there is to prevent dental caries, and it doesn't do that? So there's got to be another reason. There's got to be something behind this. People don't do things for no good purpose, and that fluoride in your water isn't there accidentally. And the people that are maintaining that status quo aren't working hard to keep it in there for no good purpose either. So I told you that we would get serious about this thing of fluoride, and last time we started getting serious with an article called Fluoride Fantasy. If you'd like a copy of it, it comes from www.trunkerton.fsnet.co.uk/fluoride. And then it's got a line down here at the bottom. I don't know what you call that line at the bottom. Fantasies. Let me give you that one again. It's a long one. get your pen and paper out there, or you can go to our archives and you can listen to this program again. This is program number 5 in the series. Go to www.trunkerton, T-R-U-N-K-E-R-T-O-N, dot, F-S-N-E-T, dot, C-O, dot, U-K, slash, fluoride. And then it's not a hyphen, it's a line at the bottom. So put line at the bottom and then fantasies, F-A-N-T-A-S-I-E-S, dot H-T-M. Now, that'll give you the article. It's a 10-page story, and it was read into the record down in all places, down in Australia. Some liberal MP down there said, hey, let me put this thing out here on the public record. And so he stood up in the legislative body of their parliament down there, and he said, hey, let me tell you what this fluoride's all about. So at least down in Australia, you Aussies down there, somebody down there, one of your more liberal MPs, I guess somebody that's probably opposed to fluoride, decided to make it part of your national record, put it into your congressional record. I wish somebody would do it here. I ought to send this to Ron Paul and see if Ron Paul would read it into the congressional record. Hell, a bunch of you people might see it on CNN, not CNN, but what do they call that, you know, where they put on the congressional dialogue, you know what they call it? Is it C-SPAN? I think it's C-SPAN. Well, last time, remember, now, should the reader's mind be already boggled to the point of disbelief, there are two facts which, if known about and or remembered, may instill sufficient confidence in that which is even more boggling and is yet to come. Bromine, B-R-O-M-I-N-E, or bromide, T, was administered to the enlisted men during the First and Second World Wars. Bromine and bromide. Halogen, the halogen, bromine, ingredient was said to quell the libido of the men and thus limit likely forays into the dens of iniquity and the acquisition of venereal disease. The second fact is that today all Australian military establishments provide their own halogenated fluoridated water for the troops resident therein, for the official reason that the element is good for the developing teeth. Again, they don't tell you what they're really up to. They tell you, hey, it's good for your teeth. Now, we already know that's a lie. Furthermore, not only do we plumbers know that it's a lie, surely the PhDs and the congressmen and the senators and the generals and the military people who and the industrialists who are slipping this Mickey into our water, they know more about it than we do. I find it hard to believe, you know, that President Bush, who gets briefed every day at 10 o'clock by the CIA, doesn't know more about what's going on in the world than you and I do. Now, our president, he's no dummy. He's sitting up there. He's well-informed. He knows what the hell's going on. So if you're wanting to know, well, why is this war going bad in Iraq? That war is going exactly as it's designed to go. Those guys aren't making mistakes now. Now, there's a plan behind all of this, and we're not being fed this fluoride for no good purpose or for dental caries or to make our teeth better. We're being fed this fluoride for a well-thought-out and a very particular reason. It's to dumb us down, keep us under control. And you can see how well it works. I mean, the American people are a nation of zombies. It's a nation of drug addicts, a nation of people who are no longer possessed by common sense, unable to make rational decisions. Boys and girls, when you're taking poison into your body, which causes these 20 maladies, and you do it on a daily basis, and you don't have a second thought about it, your brain is not functioning. I mean, you're just brain dead. It's the only logical conclusion that you could come to. You know, let's just put some Spock logic to this and ask the question, hey, is this logical? Going on. Now, either we have a very immature military force all under the age of 12 years when the mythical effect of fluoride ceases, or else there's another more obscure, less altruistic reason for this drug treatment of the troops. Now, later on in this text, we'll recall certain happenings relative to ex-trainees from these establishments and the paradoxical effects of fluorides on behavior of human beings. And there's a cartel involved here. And the paramilitary Dickinson statement refers to the vast Farben chemical plants in Germany. And it has been said by Anthony Sutton in his book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, quote, without the capital supplies by Wall Street, there would have been no I.G. Farben in the first place, and almost certainly no Adolf Hitler and no World War II. Wall Street was the key to the success of Hitler, I.G. Farben, and World War II. Now, intercession. See if I can spell this. I might be I.G. Farben, it's called. I-N-T-E-R-S-S-E-N-G-E-M-E-I-N-S-C-H-A-F-T. Now, that's I.G. Farben, and that's the way you spell it. Intercession, Gammonshaft, Farben, Der Duchen, and they've got a little German story here, a little German line. And it says, or simply, I.G. Farben was a German chemical manufacturing concern that supplied the chlorine gas used by Germany during the First World War. But the eventual creation of the huge IG Farben cartel began in 1924, when American bankers began to arrange foreign loans in what Professor Carol Quigley terms the Dawes Plan. And it was introduced by J.P. Morgan Bank. In 1928, Henry Ford merged his German assets with IG Farben, to be followed by the American Standard Oil Company, the Rockefellers, who in concert with IG Farben developed the coal-to-oil hydrogenation process. In a letter to Roosevelt from Berlin in the early 1930s, the United States Ambassador in Germany, Mr. William Dodd, had this to say, quote, "At the present moment, more than 100 American corporations now have subsidiaries here or cooperative understandings. The DuPonts have their allies in Germany that are aiding in the armaments business. Their chief ally is the IG Farben Company, a part of the government which gives 200,000 marks a year to one propaganda organization operating on American opinion. The Standard Oil Company sent $2 million here in December 1933 and has made U.S. $500,000 a year helping Germans make ersatz, a substitute gas, the hydrogenation process of converting coal to gasoline for war purposes. But Standard Oil cannot take any of its earnings out of the country except in goods. The International Harvester Company, President, told me their business here in Germany has risen 33% a year. Arms manufacturer, I believe, but they could take nothing out. Even our airplanes people have secret arrangements with the Krupps. And General Motors Company and Ford do enormous business here through their subsidiaries, and they take no profits out." Now, right here, boys and girls, I want to make a little comment. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth, you know, that lovely lady who waves to us, you know, with her famous wave? Okay. Queen Elizabeth is not an English woman. She's a German. She comes from German descent, and her name is not Windsor. Her name is Saxe-Gotha. So here's a German woman sitting on the throne of England. And guess where she has the majority of her wealth? And how much is it? Well, Queen Elizabeth is known to control $11 billion. That's spelled billion with a B, $11 billion. 65% of the IG Farben consortium is owned by Queen Elizabeth. Did you know that? Well, now you're smarter today than you were yesterday. Now, the IG Farben assets in America were controlled by a holding company called American IG Farben, which listed on its board of directors Edsel Ford, president of the Ford Motor Company, Charles E. Mitchell, president of Rockefeller's National City Bank of New York, Walter Teagle, the president of Standard Oil of New York, Paul Warburg, chairman of the Federal Reserve and brother of Max Warburg, the financier of Germany's war effort, along with Hermann Metz, a director of the Bank of Manhattan, controlled by the Warburgs. Now, it's also a very interesting fact of history that three other members of the board of American IG Farben were tried and convicted as German war criminals for their crimes against humanity during World War II while serving on the IG Farben board of governors. However, none of the Americans who sat on that same board of governors as those convicted was ever tried as a war criminal. Now, throughout the entire Second World War conflict, not one bomb ever fell on the IG Farben headquarters in Frankfurt, Germany, allegedly as a consequence of Allied orders. Now, that reminds us that no bombs ever fell on the Standard Oil refinery located in Haiphong, north of Vietnam, which produced all of the gasoline that was needed by the North Vietnamese to move all of their trucks and all of the war material down the Ho Chi Minh Trail in the south of Vietnam. During 1939, the year Germany invaded Austria and Poland, the Standard Oil Company of New Jersey loaned IG Farben $20 million worth of high-grade gasoline. In 1939, the American Aluminum Company, now known as Alcoa, which was then the world's largest producer of sodium fluoride, transferred its technology to Germany, and it was called the LTED Agreement. The Dow Chemical Company transmitted its experience and its technology in that same period to Germany. And Germany's two largest tank manufacturers were Opel, that was a subsidiary of General Motors, also J.P. Morgan, and the German subsidiary of the Ford Motor Company. Even with the purchase of oil from non-German sources, the major supplier of oil was still the Farben cartel. The IG Farben Standard Oil Cooperation for the Production of Synthetic Oil gave the IG Farben cartel a monopoly on German gasoline production, and just under one-half of all of the Germans' high-octane gasoline in 1945 was produced directly by IG Farben and most of the balance by its affiliated companies. Did you understand that, boys and girls? In 1941, when cylinders of Zyklon B gas, the deadly cyanide-based extermination gas made by, guess you, guess who, IG Farben, were lethally unvalved on inmates at Auschwitz, Birkenau, Wolfen, Hoechst, Agfa, Luckenfacken, Ludwigshafen, I guess that is, Ludwigshafen and Buchenwald, there were more than substantial links between huge American technology and the German manufacturers. So two questions should be asked here. A, was IG Farben associated with the formulation of sarin and or soman, the German-developed fluorinated nerve gases, and made Zyklon B little more than an underarm deodorant by comparison? And B, what of IG Farben today in 2006? Now, the answer to question A is an unequivocal yes. Was IG Farben associated with the formulation of sarin and or soman, the German-developed fluorinated nerve gases that made Zyklon B little more than an underarm deodorant by comparison? Yeah, they were. And IG Farben signed cartel agreements with such companies as Imperial Chemical Industry, that's called ICI, Borden, Carnation, General Mills, Kellogg's, Nestle, and Pet Milk. And IG Farben either owns outright or has had, or has now, a substantial interest in, or has had other cartel agreements with Owl Drug, Park Davison Company, Bayer Aspirin, Whitehall Laboratories, Chef Boyardee Foods, Bristol Myers and Squibb and Sons, and the list goes on. And it includes big names like Procter & Gamble, who domesticated the word fluoride. Procter & Gamble, remember, makes Crest toothpaste, with official encouragement in 1958 being the originators of the infamous Crest fluoridated toothpaste campaign. Now, the only reference to Farben traceable in a limited research or search of modern literature was in the 25th edition of Martindale under FBA Pharmaceutical Limited, products of Farben Fabriken Bayer. All corporate traces of the huge IG cartel have been absorbed by the hundreds, if not thousands, of one-time cartel members, but the malady lingers on. What do you think of that, boys and girls? I mean, that's a who's who of Wall Street financiers, American banks, American multinational corporations. And I especially like the Crest Company coming out of Procter & Gamble, which is a member of the cartel of IG Farben. And we had to ask that question, remember? Why in the world would a toothpaste manufacturer want to put poison in their toothpaste so they have to limit the amount of toothpaste that they could sell? You know, your common sense tells you we want to sell toothpaste, so let's not put poison in it. Boys and girls, the objective isn't to sell toothpaste. The objective is to sell fluoride. The toothpaste is simply the vehicle by which we're going to deliver this drug called fluoride into your child's mouth. Like I said before, I think we're suffering from terminal stupids, or else we've lost our senses. Now remember, Queen Elizabeth owned 65% of the IG Farben stock. Elizabeth Windsor is really Elizabeth Saxe-Gotha. The name was changed in 1917. The Windsors are German, not English. Now in Australia, the Dental Health and Research Foundation, which has such names as Colgate, Kellogg, and other ex-IG Farben associates listed among its governors and contributors, had been irreverently but accurately dubbed the Fluoride Mafia. They are closely allied with the Sydney University Foundation in its printed promotional claims for fluorides and fluoridation, and is Foundation number 41. Unfortunately, the data of the thorough investigation said to have been carried out by the latter foundation into the halogen fluoride, its benefits and its hazards, have never been made available despite numerous appeals. And an ABC Science Show's examination of the scientific integrity of Foundation number 41 may explain the elusive, or is the word illusory the correct word for the data? Now, America is literally bursting at the seams with these foundations, but amongst the earliest and earlier names were the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, all three members of the IG Farben cartel during World War II. And it is necessary to mention these specifically because they were the first foundations to make grants in the population control field. And the Carnegie family merged with the Mellon Family Institute to create the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh in 1967. Now, the Mellon family were the founders of the original Mellon Institute. It was from there that came the amazing but totally fallacious sodium fluoride dental caries prevention discovery. Well, isn't that just special? The discovery that fluoride prevents dental caries came from, guess where? The Carnegie Mellon Institute. The discovery that literally turned garbage into gold. The Mellon family also founded the American Aluminum Company called Alcoa, which is the largest producer of this waste toxin called sodium fluoride. Well, isn't that just real special? which up to this point of Carey's discovery had a relatively little-known commercial or industrial value and was an environmental hazard of great public concern and was very costly in terms of safe disposal. Today it costs $1.40 a gallon to get rid of that crap. Well, it's in a toxic waste dump. It's a class one toxin. So now let us retrace our steps to the Dickinson statement in Hansgard and Charles Elliot Perkins. In a letter abstracted from Fluoridation and Lawlessness published by the Committee for Mental Health and National Security to the Lee Foundation for Nutritional Research in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on the 2nd of October, 1954, a fellow by the name of Charles Elliot Perkins, a scientist and author of Washington, D.C., and one must assume the name Charles Elliot Perkins of the Dickinson Statement, to the Victorian Parliament, and this in the words of the last two lines of the second paragraph cannot be overemphasized. Quote, we're told by the fanatical ideologists who are advocating the fluoridation of the water supplies in this country that their purpose is to reduce the incidence of tooth decay in children, and it is the plausibility of this excuse, plus the gullibility of the public and the cupidity of public officials that is responsible for the present spread of this artificial water fluoridation in the United States. And two, quote, however, and I want to make this very definite, and positive, the real reason behind water fluoridation is not to benefit children's teeth. If this were the real reason, there are many ways in which that could be done, which are much safer, much cheaper, and far more effective. But rather, the real purpose behind water fluoridation is to reduce the resistance of the masses of Americans to domination and control, which leads to the loss of their liberty. And three, when the Nazis under Hitler decided to go into Poland, the German General Staff and the Russian General Staff exchanged scientific and military ideas, plans, and personnel. And the scheme of mass control through water medication was seized upon by the Russian communists because it fitted ideally into their plan to communize the world. And so I say this in all earnestness and sincerity as a scientist who has spent nearly 20 years in research into the chemistry, the biochemistry, physiology, and the pathology of fluoride. Any person who drinks artificially fluorinated water for a period of 1 year or more will never again be the same person either mentally or physically. Now, you want me to read that to you again, children? Because if you've been on this crap for 1 year or more, you'll never be the same as you were. And he said, and this is Perkins, and he says, I say this in all earnestness and sincerity as a scientist who spent 20 years research into the chemistry, the biochemistry, the physiology, and the pathology of fluoride. And that is that any person who drinks this artificially fluorinated water, for a period of 1 year or more will never again be the same person, either mentally or physically. I don't know how true or false that is. We're all subjected to this fluoride, and I might have been smarter than I am. Sometimes people write me a letter and say, oh my God, Mr. Gordon, you're really smart. I wished I was. All I can do is report. And the guy that figured this out wasn't me. You know, I wished I had researched this out, figured it out, and came up with the Gordon Report. Hell, this isn't the Gordon Report, it's the Perkins Report. But fortunately, there are a few guys around here that make these reports, and then some dolts like me, or dunts like me, however you want to word it, comes along and says, oh my God, look at this. Maybe I ought to report this. Maybe I ought to tell you people what's going on. I'm not really sure how many people out there can comprehend what the hell is going on with this fluoride, but if you've got a brain or any semblance of a brain left, and if you can cogitate for a moment on the magnitude of what's going on here, and the ruse and the fraud that has been perpetrated, it ought to tell you a little story. And that story is this fluoride's bad for you, kids. You need to get as far away from this as you can get. I mean, pork's bad for you, but hell, you'd be better off being a pig-eating Christian than a fluoride-eating idiot. I guess idiot would be about the right word for a mentally impaired person whose brain has been impaired by drugs, a drug like fluoride. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that number to call, area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give out so freely do not necessarily mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program, though, are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser or the sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. And for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a number of articles on fluoride fantasy. This is the article entitled Fluoride Fantasy. This is where we start to get serious on this fluoride topic. And this particular document here comes from www.trunkerton. That's a strange name. www.trunkerton, trunkerton, dot. FSNET dot CO dot UK slash FLUORIDE underline FANTASIES dot HTM. Now that's the webpage address for the article Fluoride Fantasy. I think this guy hit the nail pretty well on the head, and he's got a little bit more to say. And he said, Mr. Perkins does not involve America, American institutions, or individuals in his assertions. But when Major George Racy Jordan was in charge of the massive Lend-Lease airlift operations from Great Falls, Montana to Russia by way of Alaska, he queried the transshipment of considerable amounts of sodium fluoride by way of Fairbanks, Alaska, into Russia. And he was told, frankly, that it was to put into the drinking water in the prisoner of war camps to take away their will to resist. Now, the published knowledge that sodium fluoride was known for this mind and behavior-changing potential was available at the start of this century, as witness such entries as Fluoricum Acidum in the Encyclopedia of Pure Materia Medica in Volume 9, page 333. Speaking of the beginning of this century, I believe that they were referring to the beginning of the 20th century. Now, America has long been interested in behavior and mind control by chemical means. Americans, who were at once financiers, industrialists, and population control advocates, were intimately involved with Germany, where chemical extermination and chemical behavior control by, among other things, sodium fluoride, were placed into practice. America transferred this knowledge and material, among other things, to Russia during its Lend-Lease program, in cooperation with the Russians during World War II. An American major producer of aluminum was the world's major source of sodium fluoride during the war. That was Alcoa. American education and research, funded by the major sodium fluoride producer and a foundation involved in population control, was the origin of the dental caries prevention myth that was associated with sodium fluoride as a cover story. A predominantly American company was the first to exploit this concept in dentifrice production. And American medical research figured largely in the fluorination process that converted the negative embarrassment of mounting industrial waste into a huge positive profit increase, processes that other countries hastened to emulate, processes which include the enormous outlet for fluorides in the fluoridation of water supplies. Although fertilizer production has not been a part of this thesis, the following connections with this point should be made. The manufacturing processes for synthetic dyes, explosives, and fertilizers are almost chemically synonymous, and IG Farben was expert in all production phases of these necessities. Sodium silico fluoride was a waste constituent from the refining of phosphate rock until a use could be found or created for this toxic waste. A letter reproduced below for the United States Environmental Protection Agency throws the spotlight on the unique waste disposal by way of the public kidney and that concept and how it was created. United States Environmental Protection Agency, Washington, D.C., dated March 30, 1983, the Office of Water, Leslie A. Russell, DMD, 363 Walnut Street, Newtonville, Massachusetts, 02160. The context of the letter. Dear Dr. Russell, thank you for your letter of March 9, 1983, in regard to the fluoridation of drinking water. The information available to the Environmental Protection Agency is that fluoridation is a safe and effective means for reducing the occurrence of dental caries. The fluoridation process has been endorsed by several presidents of the United States and by several surgeons general, including the current Surgeon General, Dr. C. Everett Koop, and a copy of Dr. Koop's statement on fluoridation is enclosed. Water treatment chemicals, including fluorosilic acid, have been evaluated for their potential for contributing to the contamination of drinking water. The Water Treatment Chemicals Codex, published by the National Academy of Sciences, prescribes the purity requirements for fluorosilic acid and other fluoridation chemicals. Now, in regard to the use of fluorosilic acid as a source of fluoride for fluoridation, this agency regards such use as an ideal environmental solution to a long-standing problem. By recovering byproduct fluorosilic acid from fertilizer manufacturing, water and air pollution are minimized, and water utilities have a low-cost source of fluoride available to them. I hope this information adequately responds to your concern. Sincerely yours, Rebecca Hammer, Deputy Assistant Administrator for Water. Now, boys and girls, the EPA says that this is an ideal methodology for disposing of this highly toxic waste, and that is to put it into your kidneys. Now, I want to point out that one of these 20 side effects is kidney damage and ultimately kidney failure. Now, remember that this fluoride has some very serious medical problems. Again, they produce genetic damage, Down syndrome, bone cancer, tooth decay, blotched teeth, IQ deficiency, kidney damage, lead in the blood, lesions to the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, smell sensory disorders, hypothyroidism, 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning, nervous system dysfunction, a shortened life expectancy, hip fracture, and infant mortality rate increases. I was having a little problem reading my infant mortality rate. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 side effects. That's from the use of fluoride. And remember, boys and girls, these 19 side effects over here come about because we've been sold a bill of goods that tells us that fluoride is to protect us from dental caries, which it does not do, but there's got to be some other purpose for it. And so this guy Perkins comes along and he says, now let me give you this report and let me tell you where this fluoride and this fluoride plan comes from. It comes from IG Farben. It came originally from the United States of America to IG Farben in the early 1930s for the express purpose of mind control over masses of people, and the most logical way to keep masses of people medicated is in their water supply. I mean, can you imagine getting people to take their prescription down to get it filled? The water supply, children. And get this, you're 10 times more likely, or you're going to get 10 times more fluoride into your body by bathing in the stuff than you are by drinking it. That's not to say, however, that there isn't plenty of it available for you to drink in your soda pop, or that you're going to get from the foods or the prepared foods that you eat that come from irrigation water that's been fluoridated and is taken up into the plants. Now, how do you like that program? Now, right away, somebody says, well, so what? Well, here's so what. The question raised by the Hanser-Dickinson statement, and perhaps aggravated by this dissertation and data, is just this. Was the Australian government in 1962 and 63, when it illegally, under the Constitution of Australia, in Section 51, Clause 23A, introduced fluoridation to water supplies to Australia, were they aware of its grotesque actions and the grave results that would come from it? This schlunky method of introduction, and I guess the word schlunky must be something peculiar to Australia. I never heard that term before. But he says, this schlunky process, plus legal and official correspondence at that time, indicates in the affirmative. Was the crisp Royal Commission, when it found in favor of fluoridation and incidentally in favor of the major polluter and producer of fluoride in Tasmania, the Electrolyte Zinc Corporation, Risdon Hobart, Tasmania, aware of the consequences of any such favorable findings. Conditions that, in a sense, mingle with some incredible documented coincidences and unbelievable but documented official behavior, including that of premiers and health ministers, and the paucity of current state parliamentary investigations into fluorine-based environmental problems to conceive the most skeptical that it was. Now, was the Victorian premier, Sir Rupert Hamer, who was later to publicly declare the dictatorial credo, quote, "it was almost tempting to override the people and impose a new order," unquote, was he aware of these background facts when he instituted indemnified water fluoridation legislation and a subsequent fraudulently conceived and executed cover-up inquiry? Ballarat Courier, 6, October 1982, irrespective of the obvious familial supplier advantages, it seems certain that he was so aware. And widespread publicity regarding subsequent alleged complex land company fraud transactions would seemingly underwrite the existence of the necessary character and the attributes to perform as implied. Are these lies, denials, fabrications, and evasions evidence in Geelong with two fluoride pollution sources, aluminum smelting and fertilizer production, and Portland with ditto sources, no more than job protection and rate protection scares, as is claimed, or is there a deeper, wider federal or international instructional background behind the unmonitored pollution with the health detriment therefrom and the secrecy legislation invoked for the Victorian aluminum industry? Was Mrs. Thatcher's astronomical expenditure of the United Kingdom's revenue on a fluoridation campaign in Northern Ireland a matronly concern for the youngster's teeth? Or was it perhaps an attempt to sedate the people and render them subservient to her autocratic dictates? We should all remember this. Mrs. Thatcher has a background of academic chemistry and would be far from ignorant of the tranquilizing effects of the halogens and their halides contained in this product called fluoride. Similarly, her legal and political shenanigans, that is the only word to describe her behavior in the England fluoridation scene, offer many avenues for questioning of her motives. Are these lies, fabrications, omissions, evasions, and official hysteria in the federal government and the bureaucracy at the very mention of fluorides, fluoride pollution, or water fluoridation, also common to the state governments and bureaucracies, and then repeatedly backed up by the most lunatic science, as witnessed the ministerially approved and international derided propaganda from the National Health and Medical Research Council, royal and vice regal intransigence, a frightening exhibition of this grim foreknowledge, all of which has abundant documentary support or supply, or simply no more than a dastardly coincidence? Boys and girls, is this all just an accident? I don't think it can be an accident in the United States, Canada, England, Australia, New Zealand. I don't think that's an accident, maybe in one country or two. Now, this is a well-thought-out plan. It goes back to the Nazis in Germany in World War II. It goes back to experimentation done by the Nazis and the communists over decades of time. And the Americans have picked up on it, and we're using it in this country to sedate the population of the United States. And they're totally asleep. They are totally sedated. The question, I guess, arises, are you and I totally sedated? Or partially? Remember, the guy said, if you've been on this stuff for 1 year, you're never going to be the same again. Well, I've been on it for more than a year, and I don't know whether or not I'm ever going to be the same again, but who knows, because I don't know what I would have been without it. I might have been smarter. I might have been more savvy. I might have been less complacent. I don't know. Probably you don't either. Remember, this comes from Fluoride Fantasies. Let me give it to you once more. www.trunkerton, that's spelled trunkerton.fsnet.co.uk/fluoride, fluoride, underline, and then fantasies.htm. And remember, that underline does not go under fantasies. There's just one space, and it has underline. If it was carried out, it would be underlined. All right. They were talking about fluoride fantasies. Told you we'd get serious. We got a couple more pages here we need to cover. I don't know if I can do it in this program. We're on page 10 of 10. He says, we are grateful to the director and staff of the Division of Dental Health, the Department of Health, for the administrative and logistical support in the Auckland area. And in particular, we wish to mention supervising dental nurses R. Patchett and K. Hyde and assistant V. Clark for their excellent arrangements and help in contacting, screening, and arranging the transportation of children to the examination centers. And Mr. Garth Stewart, bus driver, contributed much above and beyond his normal duties and the tremendous help and cooperation from principals and staff of all schools is most appreciated. Financial support for the study was provided by the Colgate-Palmolive Company of New Zealand. And earlier, the name Kellogg was tied into the IG Farb and corporate machinations. The words below are reproduced from the cover of a recent World Health Organization publication advocating fluoridation, fluorides, and appropriate use of fluorides for human health, underlining added. Published under the joint sponsorship of the International Dental Federation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and the World Health Organization. This report was actually funded by a couple of three of the instigators of the fraud, Kellogg's and Colgate, through their foundations. The intertwining, overlapping, interlocking coincidence between erstwhile IG Farb and companies and the continuing degradation of human health, the degradation of our ecology and the environment in exchange for the corporate dollar, is virtually endless. But simply as one example, the Nestle company, once accused of selling nutritionally barren milk formula to third world babies, has recently been found guilty of marketing pure apple juice, which was anything but pure and had never been anywhere near an apple. It was purely a chemical composition. And the Nestle company has been nominated by The Ecologist as one of several multinational companies involved in the destruction of the lungs of the earth, called the Brazilian rainforests. All right, there's the 10-page report on fluoride fantasies. When we come back next time, we'll take a look here at some real health hazards of fluoride and some real off-the-wall fluoride statements and information. So don't go away, boys and girls, there's more to come. But that's all there is for this broadcast. I have to remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and a good night, friends.